Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
WPHT-WPHT-HD-WOGL HD3 Philadelphia from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Yes, indeed. We are waiting a press conference between former President Donald Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson. The reauthorization of the FISA Act without a warrant requirement is infuriating. And other things to discuss this half hour. Before I go to our guest, I promised Joe in Deptford I would get to him. Joe, thank you for your patience and holding. How you doing, buddy?
Rich, thanks for taking the call. No, it's been a very interesting show. And, initially when I called, we were going to talk about the FBI and the alphabets and how they're self-perpetuating with all of these issues we got down at the border. I mean, you know as well as I know, they're letting these folks in on purpose. And the purpose is to create the market so that they will be busy. They need a new building down in Washington to perpetuate this work. So, you know, the big thing about it is, Rich, and I don't want you to get, like, upset about it and all that, because basically where we are is the fourth turning. Every 80 years, this is happening. The country's changing. The dollar is getting long in the tooth. And that's why we're seeing all this crazy stuff happening now. So, you know, we're at $34 trillion on the books, $200 trillion unfunded liabilities. We're racking up a trillion every 100 days. They're not going to pay this off. It's not meant to be paid off. But there's got to be something that happens, something that's going to be colossal, that's going to devalue the currency, put us on this CBDC where we will be in par with the rest of the world. So we're basically being deleveraged, if you might want to say, you know? And that's why we had this COVID test a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was a beta test, you know, just to see how the public would react. And they found that they could get them to do, and you talked about this, how they could do things to impede on lifestyle. And people, you know, they stood up and saluted. Most of them. There was a few, like your buddy over here in Belmar. I mean, he was a real patriot. I admire him. And but, you know, it was a practice drill, you know, and that's.
I hear
that's
you, brother. Thing. Joe, listen, have a great weekend, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, buddy.
You too, Rich. Bye-bye now.
All right. And let me turn to our special guest. I am always grateful for his time. He is the author of the soon-to-be-coming-out book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, which will be released on June 11th. Matt DeSantis, do we have a date yet for the book event with Dr. Wilfred Riley?
No, but we have to get one.
Dr. Wilfred Riley, has Matt DeSantis reached out to you about a date yet?
I believe he has, but neither of us, we all needed to check our schedules or something like that. So we'd have to find out like your availability and then mine. But we're definitely going to get it done. This is going to be one of the big events we're doing for the book.
We got to get this done, gentlemen. We got to rock and roll
here. The upside for me... The upside for me is that as a college prof, I will be done with the semester May the 5th. So, I mean, pretty much anything after that, if you want to, one of you guys wants to text me something tentative, I mean, I should be able to come out there. It'd make more sense to do it after early June when the book is out, though. I mean, that comes out June 11th.
Yeah. We want to wait till it's out so that you can sign the book for everybody, too. So
yeah, of course, it wouldn't just make much sense for me to come out there and drink and say, "Hey, I don't really have any product here," and then go back to Kentucky.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure we'd all get along well, but yeah, it'd be a little weird.
We'd have a lot of fun and we could all drink together, but you know, I mean, it still would be better if you had a book. All right, let's chat about some things. But Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, I'm excited about that coming out, and give us a little preview of what we can expect about the book.
Well, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, all of my books are actually, I hope they're funny, I hope they're intelligent, but there's a serious component to them. So my book, Hate Crime Hoax, looked at the fact that all of these high-profile racial incidents that we were screamed at about for years, you know, Jussie Smollett, Covington Catholic, Yasmin Saweed, the hijab tearing, you could even throw in something like Michael Brown. You could even cross the line and say maybe something like George Floyd. None of them turned out to be the story we were told originally. So I looked at these cases, and I found out that among the highest profile cases, more than 60% of them were just hoaxes. They didn't happen. People made them up. Why is that? Why have we been empowering people who want to be victims? That's that book. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me looks at the prevailing ideology, I think it's fair to say, in upper middle class society today, which is, one, that our country is very, very, very bad. We're founded on slavery and the genocide of Indians is something you often hear. But a secondary level to that is the idea that we're told all the time that it's so good, that Fox News is far, far to the right of the Daily Wire. It's manipulating the boomers. Everyone's unaware that slavery happened. This is a common critique of Ron DeSantis, for example. And what I do is actually, the start of the book is a little slow-paced. I look at educational curricula in the USA, and I find that we're passing this message along. The country's bad, and that you're somehow a rebel for thinking that the country's bad, that everyone else thinks it's wonderful. And I say that's basically BS. I drop some data. But then I look at 10 or 12 things that we're often told, and they really range from, like, sex and gender are complicated to Native American Indians were peaceful. But all of them are false. And so I point out what reality is, that there's a lot to be proud of in America, greatest country in the world, but also that, like, the whole framework, which you're told is kind of an up middle class citizen. Slavery is this country's original sin. We did it differently from virtually anyone else. The quote unquote Red Scare in the 1960s was a terrible mistake. There weren't any communists. Native Americans were peaceful stewards of the earth who spent all their time dancing with wolves and German shepherds. All of that's basically BS. I mean, so there's a chapter on the, I don't want to like just bore the audience with the entire book, 400-page book. But like there's a chapter on American quote unquote atrocities. And I say there were some real ones that people were kicked out of the army for. They should have been My Lai Massacre, all that. But for example, the dropping of atomic bombs. We dropped atomic bombs because we were fighting Hitler and the Imperial Japanese. So that leads into this discussion of kind of taking things out of context to make our society seem bad and other societies seem good. You know, the targets for the atomic bombs were Japanese army bases, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. The third target would have been Berlin if Germany had still been in the war. So you can't say that it's bad to bomb Nazis. Like, it's this entire idea of we are critical theorists. So what we do is point out problems in society compared to utopia, no matter how good society actually is. That's calling that out as the through line of the book. I basically say that's stupid. You know, I'm a pretty smart guy, but give some suggestions about how a good society should run, and then I close the book.
All right. I'm excited because I think suggestions are good. So excellent, Dr. Wilfred Riley. That crazy professor from the University of Maryland who went on Morning Joe and started screaming about white rural rage. And then I'm sure you probably saw the piece that was written in Politico by the guy who actually did the research, who said, you know, this whole idea of rage is just not there. The rage is not there. There's frustration. There's a lot of people who are very frustrated. But white rural rage is another lie that is being crafted and another thing that they're throwing out there. And, you know, it used to be you just mocked people who lived in rural areas as just being, you know, hillbillies and you know, having sex with their cousin. But now it's that it's their hillbillies who have sex with their cousin and also are potential insurrectionists. So we have to profile them and monitor them and put them on lists and find out if they're buying any Cabela's fishing hats and know how many bullets they're buying and how many Bibles they're buying. And so I find it to be white rural rage, the myth of that, which is, you know, there's these a bunch of these racist white people in rural America and even rural parts of Pennsylvania, you know, and then also to the fact that the government uses that to justify more of this domestic surveillance that they love so much.
Yeah, well, White Rural Rage, the book, is mostly BS. I mean, as an author myself, you know, you don't want to brutalize someone else's work. Books aren't, they're not held to the same standard as your best journal article. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty obviously a political hatchet job. Tyler Allen Harper, who is a black kind of politically centrist guy, writes for The Atlantic, pointed this out. I think it's might be who you're referring to. He went into depth about what the problems with the book are, how they twisted some survey data. But blah, blah, blah. Basically, there are two issues with the book. One is that if there is anti-American rage on the right, it's not primarily found in these patriotic rural areas. Like, if you actually look at where people are most likely to say, you know, we need to break away from the USA and institute a fascist government, and the right is saner than the left. That's never more than, like, 8% of young men. But that tends to be in suburbs where mom has a basement that you can live in. Like, it's not professional fishing guides or something like that that hate the country. So if you're mapping attitudes toward the alt-right or something like that. Like, the alt-right is actually concentrated among high school and college-age men in what are called the exurbs, like the working-class suburbs around every city. And these aren't even entirely unsympathetic guys. I mean, these are blue-collar guys who would traditionally have gone into a decent-paying union job who are now seeing that be dramatically impacted by everything from feminism, which, although you're not supposed to talk about this, doubled the workforce, to mass immigration, which is just annoying right now if you're in Chicago or Philly or whatever, and you see the buses full of people unloading downtown, to outsourcing, we can't leave the rich out of this, your job was shipped to Malaysia, that's why the plant closed. So that's actually not a rural phenomenon, that's point one. But I would add a point two, which none of the commentators on the left have made. It would be just as easy to flip the script, if not easier, and write a book called Black Urban Rage. But people are mad because the economy sucks. Right. If you look at anti-American political rioting, I mean, something like 85% of that's on the left. So the way you get books like this is that you single out one group, and I think that you see this a lot with white guys. You single out one group, and you uniquely criticize them for a problem like high crime that everybody has. So that's the second big problem with the book, and I think that's a bigger problem.
Yeah, I'm glad you point that out, because the notion that it's just white people who are unhappy. I mean, there's a lot of people unhappy right now. A lot of people are saying America's on the wrong track. I mean, you teach political science, so I always think of polling like this. This is how I like to think about it. And I was involved in politics for a couple decades before I got into radio. I think people lie to pollsters about who they're going to vote for many times, particularly when it's Trump, for example. You know, they'll lie about that. But they never lie about their feelings. So when you ask voters their feelings, and this is why reading the crosstabs is so important, people tend to be truthful about how they feel about things. If they feel the country's on the wrong track, if they think things are bad, if they're happy to tell you about that. That's why as I look at these polls, I don't think they're as close as they seem, because I don't know how somebody tells a pollster, I think everything sucks, America's on the wrong track, I have no money, I'm worried about our national security, I'm worried about the border. Who are you voting for? Biden? You know what I mean? Like, I don't buy that.
Yeah, I think that, well, that's, so the whole thing with Trump, is such a unique candidate that there's actually a phrase I've seen called the Trump effect that refers to people being really reluctant to kind of talk about the big guy in public. So, I mean, in Kentucky, where I live, I live about a block from the headquarters of the Kentucky Republican Party, which is in downtown Frankfort. And during the last election, I guess in 2020, I noticed that they had signs out for McConnell and all the other candidates, but they didn't have any signs out for Trump. And I actually went and asked them. And they said that the reason for this is if you do anything with Donald Trump publicly, you're immediately going to be attacked. Like, people had torn down Trump signs in the past. People had done things like try to smear feces on them, just like crazy stuff, like had attacked them with scissors. So, like, the day of the election, they brought out their Trump sign, which was like 25 feet high, and put it on their front lawn. And I remember people were posing with it and taking pictures, and some were looking almost tearful because the question had been, you know, like Trump or not, he's at least as good as the other candidate. Why is no one saying this? Are people really ashamed of this? Or is this just kind of a smokescreen that's being put up for the media and for, quote unquote, the haters? And it turned out it was the second. I mean, so in fact, there were all these Trump materials. There were more of them than there were materials for any other candidate. And there were hundreds of supporters in the neighborhood, it turned out, who were like flocking around the thing and like throwing frisbees. So I think you see that to a lesser extent in polling data. But I mean, going beyond even just like, there's Trump probably has two or three more points in the polls than we think he does. Your initial point that everyone's dissatisfied with the country, I think, is very important because nobody is writing the book Black Urban Rage. Mm-hmm. And it would be the same book. It would just be you'd go through low test scores, a fairly high crime rate. Young black men are actually worse than young white men on both of those, by the way. But, I mean, you'd go to, you know, dissatisfaction with the candidates, political violence. So it's fair to say that they're angry, dissatisfied white guys, but it's not fair to say that they're concentrated in areas where, in fact, they're not. And it's definitely not fair to criticize only them without pointing out that every other group of men is just as pissed off.
And women. I think women are pissed off, too.
Well, women, I think that this is something that we have to start being honest about. Women are actually a little less pissed off than men. Hmm. Because for a lot of the past 50 years, we spent a great deal of time focusing society on women. And the early part of that was justified. Like, you couldn't get a bank account as a woman until 1970.
Right.
That's not feminist cant. It's just a fact. Now, the reason for that was that it was assumed that you would have a husband, father, partner, and you would just go in together. But nonetheless, if you were a businesswoman, there were constant hindrances in your way, probably more than as a black man, you know, an ethnic white Irish guy or whatever, probably more than you would have encountered. But we've gone a little past that. I mean, so when you talk about men feel that the workforce is a lot more competitive, one reason for that is that women are now also expected to work. So the number of people that are competing for jobs has gone up by, you know, 100%. The educational system is really targeted right now at women. If you look at things like group learning, 75% of the teachers are female. And I'm not doing some kind of men's rights rant. This is something that we see. Guys are angrier right now than women are. And you also see more men failing. You know, 80%+ of the people in prison are male. Men are much more likely to drop out of school, so on down the line. So there is, and obviously men are better at political violence. I mean, you don't have a lot of women running around with guns trying to attack congresspeople or something like that. So, I mean, I do think it's fair to look at anger among guys and the role of outsourcing or something in that. It's just that it's not primarily a white guy phenomenon.
Yeah. And also women got the right to vote. So, I mean, they should chill out. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding, ladies. Come on. Lighten
what up. More could they want?
Come on. Give it up already. No, but I do think there are a lot of women who are mad about the price of food and grocery prices and things like that. I do think that is something. I mean, we hear, because, you know, the media, you turn on TV and the media keeps talking about all these women who are angry about the Dobbs decision. I don't believe that abortion is going to be the issue that they talk about in 2024. I think the left wants it to be that. I don't think it's a prevailing issue outside of, you know, the 10% on either side that really, you know, that's their issue. But I think, you know, the average person who's going shopping every day, I mean, the prices of food, I mean, it's just, you know, to me, I think that that's going to not the, you know, you Trump, but I mean, that's going to trump everything in terms of that. If you, you go to the grocery store and you're looking at your bill, and then you get angry at that every week or every couple of days that you go, that's, you know, that's not a good position to be in right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that inflation and the frantic attempt of the Democrats to deny that inflation is happening is definitely going to be a big issue. So, I mean, like, when I log on to social media, Twitter, for example, I see people like Will Stancil, who are kind of Democratic advocates, saying things like Biden is the best president of my lifetime, or like, how are we going to stop Biden's, you know, cooking with gas, rock star economy was the title of an article recently. And it's like reading the newspaper from Bizarro World. Like, in practice, we've seen about 24% total inflation since Trump left office. A lot of that's due to COVID. A lot of it's not. But although wages for kind of lower-end jobs have increased, the average person's salary has gone up 2 or 3%. So you're not imagining that in the store. I mean, you're going into the store, and if you were making $55,000, you're making $58,000. But, you know, the last steak I bought cost $16. I mean, like, everything, there was a period where eggs were $7 a carton. Everything's gone up dramatically. So, yeah, that's gonna play a big role. I think the border is going to play a big role. I mean, cities weigh disproportionately in elections. I mean, if you're in New York, Chicago, I'd assume Philly, Detroit. I mean, like, you're directly impacted by the number of people that are illegal immigrants that are coming to your city. Mm-hmm. Crime is going to be an issue. And I think all those do benefit Trump more than they benefit Biden.
What about, I mean, like, the student loan debt reshuffling? Because, I mean, obviously, it's still going to get paid for. It's just going to get paid for by guys like you and me. How do people feel about that, you think, who didn't go to college? I mean, I have a suspicious feeling that that's going to annoy them. I mean, blue-collar workers out there, white and black, who look at that and think to themselves, man, I got debt. I just had to buy a new van. I'm a plumber. I had to buy new equipment. I got all this. Nobody's paying off my debt. I think that is one of the most elitist, infuriating things, this idea that we're going to pay off student loan debt for people. Because on average, if you have a college degree, on average, you're going to earn more money than somebody who doesn't. I know that's not in every case, obviously. It's why I said on average. But it's also just the arrogance of it, as if we're saying, like their debt is somehow more justified than yours, but at the same time, it's not. So we have to pay it off because they shouldn't be burdened with it. But your debt, whatever it is that you have, whether it's credit card debt just to get by or whether it's business debt, that's not worthy enough for us to reshuffle away from you. I think that's got to infuriate blue-collar people.
Yeah, well, first of all, one of the reasons that Biden is doing this way is that he's appealing really specifically to his base. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a famous description from, I think it's Javier Milei, the new president of Argentina, of left parties in most countries as being composed of scum and socialites, meaning that the demographics of the left tend to be poor people and rich people. And the demographics of the right tend to be kind of country boys, small businessmen, union guys now, kind of the middle, the working middle. And neither of these is bad. I mean, the socialites group would include lawyers and dentists and that kind of thing. But Biden is pitching student loan relief because for the upper end half of the Democratic Party, that's the biggest chunk of debt you're going to have. The biggest chunk of debt that most Americans have is either what's remaining, what's still owed on their home or their credit cards. Yeah. But there's no partisan advantage, I guess, to be gained from focusing on that. Like, if you forgive credit card debt, that's not going to help Democrats twice as much as Republicans. So, I mean, just amorally speaking, your goal is to get your guys out to the polls as much as possible and have the other side's guys be dispirited and stay home. You know, a cynic could even look at crime as one way of doing that, by the way. But just, like, conspiracy theorizing aside, like, definitely you want to target things. And Biden, by the way, last line, but is actually micro-targeting student debt relief. You've probably noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
He's not forgiving all student debt. He's not sweeping through the business schools, which leave people with the most debt. Law schools are second. But in, like, forgiving every junior executive's past debts, I'd love that. What he's doing is saying we're going to do a tranche of $30 billion to people from specific schools or in specific fields. The last one was just proposed to minorities, if I recall correctly. And we're going to help those people. And I would assume he's got some canny people on his staff that looked at exactly which majors, which schools, HBCUs, whatever, are going to bring out the most voters for the least amount of money. That's why I think he went this path.
You know, but at the same time, and I understand that, but there was a time when blue-collar workers were the voters of the Democrat Party. I think Ted Cruz made an interesting point recently where he said the biggest change he's seen in his lifetime is that working-class voters are now voting Republican. And it's almost as if Biden has written those people off. I mean, between two things. I mean, one is the all the climate change nonsense where you're going after these jobs and these industries of natural gas and coal and oil jobs. There's a lot of blue-collar jobs there. And two, by focusing on the student loan debt. But it really does say something about the fact that the Democrat Party has, and I'll quote James Carville here, become the party of the coastal elites and the faculty lounge.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I mean, so there tend to be, there's a famous old quote that, like, under every moral debate, there's an economic debate. And under every economic debate, there's a racial or a religious debate. And a lot of this is true. Like, there are deep causes to things that we don't necessarily see. And I would add, under a racial or religious debate, there's a social class debate. There's a very old school debate. But so I think that this is one of those situations. Like, what's happened in recent years is that there's been a shift in power in American industry. So traditionally, the Republicans were the party of the big hosses, and so the Democrats were the party of the union guys and a lot of the small businessmen. And the reason for this is that the big hosses used to be in the extractive trades, like oil, gas, timber. Like, even now, when I think of a businessman as a Kentuckian, it's like Daddy Warbucks. Like, you know, or hanging out on his horse farm for the Lincoln dinner, and he made his money in steel. But those aren't really the biggest guys in the major blue states anymore. Like, the largest industry in the country is tech. So if you look at the richest people, they're all, I mean, they've been hitting the gym now, but kind of little nerdy guys. There's Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, who's eating psychedelic mushrooms in an ashram somewhere right now. You know, the new guy from Twitter. Oh, even the new guy from Twitter is Elon Musk, so on down the line. And most of those people are on the political left. And as they've moved into the Democratic Party, they're not really any more about high taxes and so on than their buddies in the Republican Party. So you've seen a shift. Bernie Sanders has actually called this out really well. So has Senator Cruz on the right. But you've seen a shift away from traditional blue-collar issues that we could disagree with, but are what a working man's party fights for, like health care, to kind of woke stuff that matters in the corporate world, but that the average white or black pipe fitter is not interested in. So this is a real opportunity for the Republicans, but I think that's why that's happened. The base of the Democratic Party has gone up something like 10,000% in terms of income. All those tech guys who used to be broke cyberpunk hackers when we were growing up, now they have mansions. Mm-hmm. Now they're buying Bitcoin. They bought Bitcoin when it came out.
All right. Well, last issue for you. Body integrity dysphoria. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I'm actually working on an article on it with Christina Buttons. Yeah, it's an extension of being trans, you could say. Like, you have two hands but feel you should have three. And so the question is, will a quack doctor sew a third hand to your chest? Like, I'm not really being glib at all. That's what it is.
Well, let me tell you about this story. A man had two fingers, two healthy fingers amputated for his body integrity dysphoria. This is in Canada. He had two of his fingers, healthy fingers, chopped off because he has body integrity dysphoria. And they said, despite ethical concerns and limited literature on body integrity dysphoria, the decision to proceed with elective surgery was based on the patient's sustained desire, potential risk of self-harm, and the distinct presentation involving two fingers rather than a complete limb, said Dr. Nadia of the Department of Psychiatry at the University Laval in Quebec. So he described having intrusive thoughts about his left hand's fourth and fifth fingers since childhood and felt they should not belong to his body. He described often hiding his fingers, causing pain, and said he had not told his family about his distress due to the embarrassment. He said he suffered from nightmares in which his fingers were burning or rotting, and he considered removing the two fingers himself. So can a giant meteor just hit us already and end it? That's all I really have to ask.
Well, I mean, I think there are a couple things here. First of all, body integrity disorder or body dysmorphia and all these things that we're talking about in media right now are just subsets of this one thing. You know, I took political science and psych classes at a pretty high level in grad school, obviously, and this has been a mental condition for a while. So there are a couple things here. Like, one, there actually are situations where this gets so extreme that accommodation is probably the best treatment. Like, you're not going to cut off anyone's leg, But if someone feels that, like you mentioned, their pinky finger, and there could be some deep spiritual reasons when you think about this. I mean, was there a surgery very early in life that you don't remember or something? But if they feel like their pinky finger is not a part of them, and this goes on for 10 years, and they're crying and waking up screaming at night, I mean, I might remove that as a doctor. But I think the second important point here...
It's a mental illness, though. I mean, wouldn't you treat that first as a doctor? You try to deal with that?
That's what I was going to say, actually. Yeah, I would. And I don't think they did, actually, in Canada. So my first step would be, does running work, boxing work, where you have to use all your hands, the things that we know can treat depression, especially in males? What about throw them on some Wellbutrin, do antidepressants if you need to go that route? Do they work? Cutting off someone's fingers would be the very last resort. But your point about mental illness, that leads into something else important. All these people are crazy.
Right.
This is the context in which to look at the transgender movement.
Right.
Body dysmorphia is a serious mental illness. It includes anorexics. It includes bulimics. It includes people who think they want to cut their hand off. Now, sometimes you might have to let one of these lunatics cut their hand off so they don't hurt anybody. They don't try it themselves. I was reading between the lines of what you were saying there. But, I mean, you're not... You don't. The gods have not actually cursed you because you have two hands. So I guess the more important question, I said that really incoherently, but the more important question is, as a society, how do we deal with this? And I think my answer would be, and this is for all forms of bodily integrity disorder. I mean, that includes being trans, non-binary, whatever, whether or not people like this opinion. I think the first step is you try non-pharmaceutical treatment. The second step is you try pharmaceutical treatment. What we call affirmation or transition would only occur after that had failed for about 10 years, only for adults. And then it would be treated as you're affirming someone who is crazy. So the idea of if someone comes forward and says, well, I think I'm a trans child and I'd like my penis removed, the idea that you would immediately do that because that's what that person actually is extraordinarily bizarre. Like, that person was no more meant to not have genitals than this poor, unfortunate Canadian gentleman was meant to not have hands. It's a mental problem.
So instead of calling it gender-affirming care, we should call it crazy-affirming care.
Yeah, I mean, that's really funny, but I mean, I would say something, yeah, like mental illness affirming care, final stage treatment for mental illness, yeah. And by the way, we used to use all these words with anorexics until 2010.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The gender thing is an absolutely novel phenomenon. Like, anorexic women at a pretty good college, a Big Ten school in one of the humanities fields, were not uncommon. But it was understood that if you encountered this as a teacher or as a boyfriend, I mean, you went to the doctor. You mm-hmm. cooked some food for them. You did not tell them that they were correct and they needed to be affirmed in their belief that as a gymnast they should weigh 90 pounds.
You cooked some food for them?
Literally. Find out something they found very tempting. Have it around the house. I mean, but the strategy is you're realizing that your partner or your buddy, sister or whatever, I mean, is dealing with a mental problem. Is there a treat food that she can't resist? Is there a therapist that could actually help her? Affirmation therapy would mean the equivalent of getting her down to 65 pounds because that's where she should be.
Yeah, right.
It's exactly
right. But of course, you can't say these things in polite society anymore. So, all right, my friend, always a pleasure. I can't wait to host you for the unveiling of the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. We'll do it in person. We'll have some drinks. We'll do a politics and pints event. It'll be great. And we'll look forward to it. Dr. Wilfred Riley, have a great weekend, buddy.
Thanks. You too.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Cioli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, so it is our happy hour, and we will be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May.com, Grand Hotel of Cape May, on May 3rd, Friday, May 3rd. They do sponsor this happy hour, and I'm excited for that live show. So what I need you to do is mark your calendar down so that we can go together and be there together in person at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for our live show. It'll be a lot of fun, all right? It'll be a lot of fun. So let's do that. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Coming back, Donald Trump and Mike Johnson just wrapped up a press conference. I'll tell you what it's about, and then we'll play the question and answer part for you so that I always tell you won't miss anything. But basically, they've unveiled an election integrity bill. I'll explain what that means, what it's all about, straight ahead.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
It is a Friday. So former President Trump and the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, just unveiled a new election bill. And the premise is this. You have to be an American citizen to register to vote for federal elections. That's it. You got to show proof of citizenship to be able to register to vote in federal elections. So obviously Congress would only have the ability to mandate how federal elections are run, not state elections. Although, obviously, I think we all believe you should have to be an American citizen to vote in any election. But this would deal with federal elections. And as Representative Chip Roy has a similar bill like this as well. And he is the sponsor of this. And the bill would say that you, when you go to register to vote for a presidential election, you have to, I would assume that this would include U.S. Senate and Congress. I haven't seen the text of the bill, but I would assume it does. It's federal election. Then you'd have to be a U.S. citizen. Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. And it would also derail the plans of the left. Now, it's interesting to think about what Democrats will do here. Are Democrats going to fight that? And what's going to be their argument? That we believe in states' rights or something? Or what's going to be their argument against it? I mean, we know that why they don't want it, because they don't want American citizens to have to, they don't want just American citizens voting. This is the game. This is how you take over a country without firing a shot. They want to let in all these illegal immigrants, give them money, and then have them vote for Democrats. They don't want them to even have to worry about becoming citizens, that pesky process. So let's take a listen to what the former president said, and then we'll also hear a little bit from Speaker Johnson and then a little bit of the Q&A. Go ahead.
I would like to demand that our border be closed because we have millions of people coming into our country. Millions and millions of people are pouring in at levels that nobody's reporting, nobody's going to talk about. But I believe you could have 15 million already in. Some are terrorists. They come from jails and prisons. They come from mental institutions and insane asylums. They come from all over the world, not just South America. They're coming from all over the world. Venezuela announced that their crime is down 67% because of the fact that they've taken the gang members, the leaders and the members, and they've deposited them very nicely into the United States of America. That's just Venezuela. It's happening with the Congo. It's happening with countries all over Africa, Asia, South America, all over the world. It's happening. Our country is like a dumping ground, and we're going to have it stopped. And Biden should do it immediately. He should close the border immediately. He needs no legislation. He doesn't need this gentleman. He doesn't need anybody. He can do it. I did it without any legislation. I had the best border we've had in ever. Recorded history. He can close it immediately. If he would have left, we had stay in Mexico, remain in Mexico. We had catch and release in Mexico, not here. We had everything. It was perfect. It was a great situation we had, and now we have the worst ever. I don't believe in the history of the world there's been a border like this. But we probably have 15 million people, and they come from places that you don't want to know about, and they're going to be big problems, and it's getting worse. It's migrant crime. It's a new category of crime, migrant crime. And I'm just demanding, as a citizen, I demand the border has to be closed. Our country cannot take it. No country could take it. It's not sustainable by any country. And we want to also mention election interference, and we want to talk about election integrity for a little while. But basically, that's what we're working on. And I'll introduce the speaker, who you know very well. He's doing a really good job under very tough circumstances. And I appreciate he came to Mar-a-Lago. We have a great conference, and there's a big turnout because people want this to be healed. They want our country to be healed. They want our country to be united.
All right, here's what Speaker Johnson announced as the legislation. Go ahead.
You need to understand something really important about federal law. Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited. Believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen. The federal voter registration form just has a checkbox, and if you do that, you're good. The states can't allow it. Well, we think that's a serious problem. And so what we're going to do is the House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections.
And very common sense indeed. All right, now here is the press conference that happened after the announcement. And by the way, this is, let me just say real quick, this is the big story of the day. It's brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, because he'll give you the smile of your dreams. VanariaVeneria, VeneriaDental.com. My dentist, my buddy, and my friend. Okay, go ahead.
Motion to vacate, or do you stand behind
it? We're getting along very well with the speaker, and I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a speaker. He was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think it's not an easy situation for any speaker. I think he's doing a very good job. He's doing about as good as you're going to do, and I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine, and I know she has a lot of respect for the speaker.
Would you support a Ukrainian aid bill if the speaker was to move forward with it?
We're looking at it right now, and they're talking about it, and we're thinking about making it in the form of a loan instead of just a gift. We keep handing out gifts of billions and billions of dollars, and we'll take a look at it. But much more importantly to me is the fact that Europe has to step up and they have to give money. They have to equalize. If they don't equalize, I'm very upset about it, because they're affected much more than we are. The Ukraine situation would have never happened if I was president. Would have never, ever happened. And everybody says that, including Democrats, that it happened is such an outrage. People, millions of people are dead right now, both sides. Millions of people are dead. Cities are blown to ashes. You'll never rebuild those cities. That's certainly not like they were, so beautiful. And this is something should have never happened. October 7th should have never happened in Israel. Should have never happened. What happened there was outrageous. Iran was broke when I was president. People weren't buying oil from Iran. They weren't allowed to. If they were going to buy oil from Iran, then they weren't going to do any business in the U.S. And I said it to China. I said it to everybody. They weren't doing business. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. It would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. It did happen. And now it's a disaster. And it's only getting worse. So It's very sad. No, I stand with the Speaker. We've had a very good relationship.
Mr. President, while you were in office, you said that you would sign a federal abortion ban if Congress sent it to your desk. Why should Americans trust your word that you would not do it now if you were reelected?
Because we don't need it any longer, because we broke Roe v. Wade, and we did something that nobody thought was possible. We gave it back to the states, and the states are working very brilliantly, in some cases conservative, in some cases not conservative, but they're working, and it's working the way it's supposed to. Every legal scholar, real legal scholar, wanted to have it go back to the states, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, and we're able to do that. You know, what we did was give it back to the states, and now the states are working their way through it, and you're having some very, very beautiful harmony, to be honest with you. You have some cases like Arizona that went back to like 1864 or something like that, and a judge made a ruling, but that's going to be changed by government. They're going to be changing that. I disagree with that. Excuse me, please.
Just a follow-up. Over the last few decades, Mr. President, you have both considered yourself pro-choice and pro-life. Which one is it?
Well, you know exactly which one it is. And when I was in New York and when I was a Democrat also, just like Ronald Reagan, you know, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. We sort of followed a very similar path. But if you look at what we've done with Roe v. Wade, we did something that everyone said couldn't be done, and we got it done. And I give great credit to the Supreme Court and the justices for having the courage to do it. What they did is very simply give it back to the state. And I'll tell you, the Democrats are the radicals on this, because they're willing to have abortions in the 7th, 8th, 9th month. They're even willing, and you can call it what you want, but you go back to the governor of Virginia, the previous governor of Virginia, the Democrat governor of Virginia, where he talked about execution of a baby after birth. And you can say what you want, but that's extreme and that's radical, and nobody should have that, and it has to be ended. Please, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Mr. President, do you think the motion to vacate rules should be finally changed, or do you think that it's just creating chaos right now?
Well, it's unfortunate that people bring it up, because right now we have much bigger problems. The country is we're a nation in decline. We're a declining nation. We have tremendous inflation. The inflation's coming back at levels that nobody thought they really would have. If you look at the categories of inflation, they have the worst categories. Many categories are not included. And if you included that, your inflation number would be substantially higher than it is now. And it's already at records. So inflation is back. And a lot of bad things are happening in our country, but that's the least of it. You've got Russia could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine, and all of the chaos. And that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that can't put two sentences together. We have a president that can't find the stairs off a stage. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we could end up in a world war. You know, we have just a little bit less than 7 months now, months before November 5th. But that's an eternity when people are incompetent. Go ahead, please.
Do you support the House's FISA bill that was passed this morning?
Which one?
FISA bill, and did you talk to any?
Well, I'm not a big fan of FISA. I looked at it and I studied it, and I know it probably better than anybody. You know, they spied on my campaign. You do know that, right? And they did lots of other bad things. I'm not a big fan of FISA, but I told everybody, I said, do what you want. They put a lot of checks and balances on, and I guess it's down to 2 years now, so that it would come due in the early part of my administration on the basis that we live up to the polls, because all the polls, we just had another one come out, we're leading by a lot, but it comes out quickly. I said, you do what you want, but I'm not a big fan of FISA. I think it's terrible. Yeah, Bob?
You plan to testify in your trial in New York?
Yeah, I would testify, absolutely. It's a scam. It's a scam. That's not a trial. That's not a trial. That's a scam. If you read Jonathan Turley, if you read Andy McCarthy, if you read the legal, they said there's not even a case there. That's election interference by the Biden administration. They actually took their top guy, one of their top guys, put him into the DA's office to run it, and it's a shame. What they have done is incredible. It's election interference, and it's got to stop. It's a third world country. This country's never done it. But you read Jonathan Turley, you read Andrew McCarthy, you read the legal scholars, every single one of them said that whole thing is a scam. It's not even a crime. And what they're doing is a crime. They are criminals. All right, Bob.
Can I just follow up on that? Why do you believe it is important for you to testify, take the stand in this upcoming trial? And what are you watching as jury selection begins in New York?
Well, you know, jury selection is largely luck. It depends who you get. It's very unfair that I'm having a trial there. It's very unfair that we have this judge who hates Trump and has tremendous conflict, as you know, tremendous conflict. Nobody can believe that this judge isn't recusing himself. The conflict is at a level that nobody's ever seen before. So I have that, and I have venue. We have all these things that we've asked for. They don't give us anything. It's a witch hunt that takes place in New York and that is taking place. And it's very bad for New York, and it's very bad, and it's very bad for the judicial system in New York.
Is it risky for you to testify? Is it risky for you to testify?
I'm testifying. I tell the truth. I mean, all I can do is tell the truth. And the truth is that there's no case. They have no case. And again, you have to read the scholars, read all of the legal scholars. I haven't seen one legal scholar that said this is a case. And in fact, even you people said, oh, gee, that's too bad. This is the first one. All of them are scams. They're all about election interference. We have a president that doesn't know where he is. He can't speak. The whole world is collapsing. The world is on fire. They have no respect for our country anymore. And the only way he thinks he can win is by doing this, you know, trials of Trump. We have Fani in Atlanta, who's been so discredited now. That was a setup with her boyfriend so they could take trips and take a lot of money out. And that's something that should be dismissed. Not just the prosecutor dismissed, the case should be dismissed. Every single one of them said, look at what happened with Biden. He gets off scot-free with 50 years of documents and classified information. He gets off scot-free. And I'm still fighting that trial. The whole thing is a disgrace, and it's a disgrace to our nation.
According to both U.S. and Israeli intelligence reports.
Yeah.
Have you spoken with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yeah.
How should the United States respond? And the same question for you, Mr. Speaker.
I don't want to say who I spoke to, but for the president of our country to actually put out a warning that he thinks that we're going to be attacked or they're going to be attacked, that's pretty pathetic. They wouldn't be attacking Israel if I were president, that I can tell you. And they never did. They wouldn't be attacking. Iran was in no position to attack. They had no money. They were broke. But now they have $221 billion, and they have Iraq, who has $300 billion. And Iraq has become a subsidiary of Iran. With all that we've done, with all of the fighting, all of the death, look at what happened, how incompetent the whole thing is. But I don't want to say who I spoke to, but I think it's a very, very dangerous period. This is a very dangerous period of time in our nation. And a big reason that it's dangerous that we have a president that's grossly incompetent. Thank you all very much.
Okay, that's the press conference right there, and I completely disagree with him on that the FISA had the safeguards and the protections, but there may be a chance on Monday to save this and save the Fourth Amendment. I'll tell you about that as I get back for our fourth and final hour. Before I do, let me tell you about Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They are the absolute best at what they do, which is giving you the luxury experience you deserve. And if you haven't been by recently, you may not have noticed, but they're having a renovation, and that means big savings for you. Their renovation savings event. It's an incredible time they had the Cherry Hill Volvo because they are loaded with offers for spring. The renovation sale continues, and their pricing is always aggressive, and they have tremendous inventory to choose from. When you choose Cherry Hill Volvo, you are choosing the pricing and attention that you deserve. Cherry Hill Volvo is right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Make sure you tell them I sent you. You'll love the experience. Even though there's a renovation going on, that means big savings. And I was just there a couple weeks ago, picked up my new XC60. The experience was great. Yeah, they're working on the road and they're doing renovation, but it's not a problem. You get through that. and then you are good to go. And you'll love the treatment. And you'll love driving a Volvo. They're great cars. They're fast cars, stylish, with all the latest technology. And they're some of the safest cars on the road. The XC90, the family car with that third row, the S-Class, made right at their plant in South Carolina. And most importantly, Cherry Hill Volvo always stands with us. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, and they really do. So go see them today, Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.